Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we want to thank God for this opportunity to minister to people and to preach the Word of God, which is our guidebook to life. Amen. We want to follow the principles that were laid down in God's Word for daily living. And it sure does help to have the consolation of having our Bible and being able to read it and quote it. We need it now more than ever because truly we are in the end times and we're seeing such a devaluation, I would say, of marriage and purity and holiness even before marriage. So also we're seeing the rise of adultery and so many people that call themselves ministers of the gospel and call themselves pastors, and yet they refuse to live in holiness and to practice what they preach. So we're going to be talking about that today. And this is a live call-in program. So if you would like to call in, the number is 914-338-1638. If you have any questions or comments, also the chat room is open. So if you'd like to go to the chat room and make some comments, I'll be monitoring that. And I see Brenda. Is Brenda in the chat room? Anyway, if she's in the chat room and she's listening, I would love for her to call in. She always has a great perspective. Especially, we're going to be talking about sex as it applies to pulpit pimps, people that call themselves ministers of the gospel, yet they really do not have any love for the sheep. They use them and abuse them, and we see child molesting going on in churches. We see pastors, single pastors, impregnating single women. And there was a story that came out a few weeks ago about this man, Noel Jones. Supposedly he's a pastor, but I wouldn't call him a pastor. I don't. People throw this term around, but a pastor really cares about people, and pastors, true pastors and true shepherds, do not impregnate single women in the church. Anyway, a girl named Stacy, I can't remember her last name right now, but anyway, she was one of the contestants on X Factor, and this man, Noel Jones, impregnated her, and she has a baby that's about a year old. So I still see this guy on TBN. I wonder what has become of the church today that we don't care, or it seems that they don't care if these men commit adultery, if they're fornicating, if they're molesting children, if the pastor such as Eddie Long was accused of having homosexual relationships with 16-year-old boys, and yet he's still over there pastoring. I put it in quotes because I don't look at him as a pastor. Why do people allow this? What has happened? Now, I've been born again since 1981, and we saw the Jimmy Swaggart scandal in the 80s and the Jim Baker scandal, and people were shocked, and we didn't really even want to see these people for a long time or listen to them, because it brought shame to the church. And although you can forgive these people, they need to step down and get some kind of help, because you need help. You truly need a lot of help when you're committing adultery and you're having sexual relationships with the women in your church, or in Jimmy Swaggart's case, he was going and soliciting prostitutes. He was actually changing the way he looked. He would wear a headband around his head, and he had this long hair, and he even looked different. He looked like another person, and he was picking up prostitutes. So when you're doing that kind of thing and you have a public ministry, then there's something very wrong with your head. You need help. And the rest of the body of Christ needs to be protected from these people until they can get restored or saved or whatever. Because I think if you're really born again, the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, so you're supposed to be convicted, and you're supposed to stop what you're doing and not continue in your sin and in your deception, because you can hurt a lot of people, especially if you're a pastor or you have a TV ministry. But it doesn't seem to affect some of these people when they're on television. We see what happened a little while ago with the Daystar Network, one of the so-called Christian networks on, they're on the satellite, and I don't know what other channels they are. That's how I see them. But Marcus Lamb was having an affair for 7 years with someone that worked there at the ministry. And the only reason he finally got caught, because another woman there at the ministry went to the mother of Joni Lamb, the wife, and told her what was going on. But I don't know if he had ever any intention of stopping what he was doing, except he got caught. So, and they just continued on like nothing happened, and then they tried to blame someone at the ministry, brought a lawsuit against them, and they were trying to blame the people that were working for the ministry that they were being extorted, but I didn't find any truth in that at all. So I just wonder why we don't take these things more seriously, really, because it's definitely, it brings a reproach to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I wonder when, especially when you're single, you should live a pure and holy life, and it is possible to do that. As a single Christian, whether you've been married or divorced or whatever, the Bible has given us certain guidelines to live by, and I think God knows what he's talking about, doesn't he? if he tells us not to do something, then I think we should probably listen to what God's saying for our own good. Any of us that have been single and not saved, remember how it was. It was awful to be used and abused by men who didn't love you, and there was no commitment. So that's why the Bible says not to have sex before marriage, because it will hurt you. And now the Bible is very plain, especially in the King James. They use the word whore. Now, that's a strong word, but God does use it. And I'm going to read a few scriptures to you. If you look at Leviticus 19, verse 29, it says, "Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness." Leviticus 21:7. They shall not take a wife that is a whore or profane, neither shall they take a woman put away from her husband, for he is holy unto his God. Now, that's strong language. We don't really like to use that kind of language anymore, especially in these seeker-friendly churches. Now they don't want to talk about whores. Don't want to talk about that because someone might get upset. And you're going to be more upset if you wind up fornicating and you wind up pregnant and your baby doesn't have a father, you don't have a husband. You're going to be more hurt and offended if you go ahead and do that. And if somebody doesn't tell you the truth, the consequences for a few minutes of enjoyment are really not worth it, because it's like the Bible says, there's pleasure in sin for a season, but after the season's over, then you can go through periods of deep regret, loneliness, guilt, and all those things that can happen. And it's just not worth it to disobey God. It just isn't. If you look at Proverbs 23:27, it says, "For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit." Wow. Now that's strong. Very strong language. And I think God uses that kind of strong language because, as any father, you want to protect your children. So that's why he said these things. If you look at the word whoredom in the King James, there's quite a few scriptures there that are very, very strong. Hosea 4:11, "Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart." Hosea 4:14, "I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery. For themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people that doth not understand shall fall." Now, what makes people fall? And we see this, it's very, very prevalent today in the church. We see pride. Now, the Bible says, when pride comes, then comes destruction. So, Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Now, we see that people get wrapped up in their titles. And we also see now on what they call Christian television, we see so many of these, like Paul Crouch and Benny Hinn, they wear these little costumes where it looks like they're wearing a priest collar, a Roman Catholic priest collar, And that's to distinguish them and to separate them from the rest of the body of Christ. But just because you're a Bible teacher, or that doesn't mean that you're any different than any other member of the body of Christ. Everybody has a Bible. Everybody can read their Bible. Anybody can open their mouth and quote their Bible. So that doesn't make you anything special. But these people, they've fallen into so much pride and arrogance that they want you to think that they're special, and that they have something that you don't have. And when you start getting into that, then you're in for a fall. So we see, even in TBN, the granddaughter of Paul Crouch, who was the chief financial officer there at the ministry, so I'm sure she knew quite a bit. She's a young girl. She's only in her late 20s. But anyway, she was fired, and her father was let go, Paul Crouch Jr., and her brother. And so she was trying to get them to do the right thing as far as the way they were handling their finances, which it would be pretty hard to get them to do the right thing, because they've really gone off and gone over the top. But she reports that her grandmother has had affairs, and that she's even currently having an affair. And the grandfather was accused of having a homosexual relationship, which they paid the person off. The person that was accusing Paul Crouch Sr., they actually paid this guy off hundreds of thousands of dollars to silence him, whatever he had to say. He wrote a book. They paid him off once, and then a few years later he came out, and he was going to write a book. I think he did write the book, but then they paid him off again so that he wouldn't make the book public. And so why do you have to bribe people if you have nothing to hide? And anyway, why are you taking ministry money? They probably paid this guy $1 million so far to silence him. So why are you taking ministry money and bribing people for their silence? What kind of a ministry is that? I think that, you know, we need a good house cleaning in the body of Christ. It's time to clean up the mess and start all over again, and bring some people in that want to do it right. First of all, people that aren't begging for money all the time. Doesn't it really turns me off. I don't know if it does you, but I can't stand it. I can't stand to watch these people, and they're always crying, and they always need this, and they always need that, and they never have enough for their ministries. Well, if you had a real ministry, the Bible says you're supposed to do it by faith, because whatever is not of faith is sin. So if you can't fund your ministry by trusting God, then you don't need a ministry. You shouldn't even have a ministry then, because the Bible says that freely you have received, so freely give. So we give, and we trust God that maybe we've spent many, many hours in God's Word and studying God's Word to bring it forth to people. But if we're doing it, we have to do it out of a pure heart, because our main motive is to get the gospel out. Whether we get anything back or not, most likely you will get something from God, because he sees what you're doing. He knows what you're doing. And if we don't believe that, then we're in sin, because the Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin. So if that's why I see these people on television, and they have this debt and that debt, and they need more money, and they're always having telethons. It's like Morris Cirillo and his son. Their network and their program is a constant telethon of seed faith giving, and they've managed to raise millions, multiple millions of dollars to build a city that they're building. I don't know for what purpose, but because who wants to be associated with these ministries? I don't. I don't even want to listen to anything they have to say because I can't receive anything from them. I can't receive anything from a pastor that teaches tithing because there is no such thing as tithing in the New Testament. And they, even in the Old Testament when they taught tithing, it was food that they brought to a storehouse that was used to feed people. So how many churches do you know that are doing that, that they just specifically, if they're collecting tithe money, that they're just specifically using that to feed people? Why do I want to listen to a pastor that, why would I even want to waste my time getting up and getting dressed in the morning and then driving somewhere and sitting somewhere and listening to someone that's going to teach me something about God when they don't know anything themselves? I can't receive from that person. So I think that the body of Christ, for the most part, if you're going somewhere and you're listening to someone that doesn't know God themselves, then how can you learn anything from this person? I've long ago decided that I'm going to depart from these people and I'm not going to receive from them until I see that they have truly repented. And if they're going to claim to be a Bible teacher and a Bible, have a TV ministry or any kind of a ministry, a traveling ministry or whatever, is that they read the Bible and that they really read it. And when they read it, that they teach it correctly, because I think that we can, as Christians and as true Christians, start voting with our feet and leaving these places in mass and saying, I'm finished. I wash my hands of it. I've had enough of it. I've had enough of the adultery. I've had enough of the fornication. I've had enough of the, you know, now you go to church and the people that are singing in the worship team, you're looking at somebody's cleavage. I don't want to see anybody's cleavage when I go to church. I feel embarrassed myself when I see that, and I'm a woman. Never mind for the men. The Bible says we're supposed to dress modestly and be modest. I don't know whatever happened to that scripture in most churches, but there was a day when we went to church and the people, the pastor and the people in the worship team, everybody was dressed modestly, and now anything goes. And I don't want to look at it. So maybe it sounds old-fashioned, but it's not, because the Bible teaches us to be holy. The Bible teaches us to be modest. The Bible says that we should be careful about what we look at with our eyes, what we take in. And now we see that we have so many movies where they're rated R or they're rated even X or whatever, and it's nothing for a Christian to go and see these movies. And it's just not good for us to do that. I don't think I've ever seen a time since I've been saved that there's so much immorality in the church. Or what they call the church, and even more to come. There's some of these people that I know personally things about some of these famous preachers, which I don't talk about yet because the things haven't been exposed publicly, and I'm not going to do the exposing as far as let God expose. Some of them have made sex tapes, and some of them are involved in homosexuality. Some of the famous people that you see on TV, and some are drug runners. So eventually all these things, God is going to uncover all these things and bring it out. He will do it, And so when he does it, don't be surprised. But I think the number one way that you can spot one of these people is, how are they raising money? And to me, it all goes back to the fundraising. Once they start prostituting the gospel for finances, then there isn't anything they won't do. There isn't anything they won't do. Once they start selling the gospel, look out, because you can't trust that person. And I would say run for your life. Hit the door running and screaming, because these people aren't of God. And when I was, for a long time, I would hang around. I haven't been attending a church since about 1997. I dropped myself out of the whole thing. I said, that's it. If I can't go someplace and hear the word of God and have a normal kind of church service without smoke going off and lights flashing and all the dancing and the entertainment, and it was no longer a worship service, it was just entertainment. Nobody was worshiping anything. And then people fighting over seats and this whole, you know, a lot of these things that go on. But I think we have to come out of this mess and be ye separate. Yeah, come out and be ye separate. I think that's a good way to be, is to take a stand for righteousness and say, look, I'm not for sale. I don't have a for sale sign on me. I'm standing for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And no matter what it costs me, if it costs me popularity, if it costs me my reputation or whatever, I'm going to take a stand for the truth, because I know what the truth is. Now, I don't claim to know everything. I'm still learning too, but there's some things that I do know, and I take a stand for that. We take a stand for the truth of the gospel, and we never forget what the Lord Jesus did for us. Let's look at a couple scriptures on lust. James 1:14 says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. James 1:15 says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. James 4:2, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask not. You don't have to bribe God. You don't have to give him $5. You don't have to give him $10. You don't have to give him 10%. You don't have to give him first fruits. What does it say here in James 4:2? Ye have not because ye ask not. So lusting after what somebody else has, and look what I got, and that whole thing, which is the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is when they say, well, look, I gave $1,000 and I gave $5,000 and look what I've got. Look what I've got. I got a new car and I got a new house and I've got all my debts paid. And I mean, the Bible specifically speaks against that. Don't desire what somebody else has and that you cannot obtain. Maybe God doesn't want you to have that. Maybe you don't have those things because God didn't want you to have it. Right? Amen to that. So 1 John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. 1 John 2:17 says, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. And we want to do the will of God. We want to be a new generation of Christians that doesn't bow the knee to the things of this world. We don't bow the knee to the ways of the world, and we don't bow the knee to the things of this world. We say, no, we are not going to bow. No matter what, no matter what comes my way, we are going to take a stand for the gospel, and we are going to preach the truth of the gospel, whether or not we make a living or any of that. We're just going to do it because we love God. And, you know, I thank God that he's given us this opportunity, opened up this Blog Talk Radio, which I think is just wonderful. Nobody tells me what to say. I have freedom on this program for now. Who knows how long it's going to last. But for the time that we're here and we're recording, and these things are recorded and they're archived, and they may be here for years to come for people to hear. And it is a tremendous blessing that God has opened this door, because there's many people that would try to silence us, especially someone like myself. They will not allow us to go on these so-called Christian networks and say our piece, or some of these radio programs. And no, they won't allow you to talk. In fact, they tried to silence you. They tried to close you down, some of these so-called ministries, because they know that there's power in the spoken word of God, and that when people are telling the truth and speaking the truth, there is power in that. And the devil doesn't like it. And the devil, the fact that most of these people have sold out, the ones that haven't sold out are the ones that will be persecuted and hated. So don't expect to be popular, because you won't. You won't be popular. That's a promise. But let's look at Proverbs 6:25. It says, "Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids." Now, what is that talking about for some young men? Oh, the girl, she's beautiful. She looks beautiful on the outside. But what's going on the inside? Does she love God? Is she taking you with her eyelids? You know how some women are with their eyes, and they'll make contact with you with their eyes. And the Bible warns against that. Matthew 5:28. "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." So even if you look at a woman to lust after her and you're getting those thoughts, you've already committed adultery. That's what the Bible says. Because women, whether you're married or single, we don't want to be lusted after. Nobody wants to be lusted after. It's not a good feeling. It doesn't make you feel good. And that's not the way women want to be looked at. Romans 1:27. Now, I know, of course, you know, the word sodomite is not in the NIV Bible. Why did they leave that word out of there? These new translations, I don't like them. They actually left the word sodomite out of it. But see, Romans 1:27 says, "And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of a woman," that means homosexuality, "burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat." Now, some people say that, although the Bible doesn't say anything, especially the New Testament, against homosexuality, well, there's a scripture right there. Men aren't supposed to have sex with men. Men cannot get married to each other. Oh, dear. Women cannot get married to women. Women aren't supposed to have sex with women. And the Bible speaks against it. I think God knows what he's talking about. If God says that if you're not supposed to do it, then you're not supposed to do it. But yet, we see people today, such as Eddie Long, that was accused of having homosexual relationships with 16-year-old boys in his church. Yet he's still there as a pastor, and I put it in quotes, pastoring a church, and people are still going there by the thousands. Now, what is wrong with these people? Could you please tell me what is wrong with people that will stay in a place when they know he had to pay these people off? He never let the case come to trial. I mean, if somebody was accusing me of something like that, I'd certainly go through the trial and I would prove myself innocent. I wouldn't let anybody accuse me of that. But no, what does he do? He pays them off. He bribes them for their silence. So why would I want to go to a church like that? Why would anybody want to go to a church like that? Why? You can still love the man and pray for him, but I'm certainly not going to waste my time going over there and listening to anything he has to say if he has not repented, because everything that happens there is going to be tainted and unclean, and it's really not fit for any Christian to be there. I don't see the purpose. I don't get it at all. I don't get why people would still bring their children there, and single women would still go there. Married women would still go there. No. If you're going to a church and the pastor's committed adultery, and he's truly repented, and he has repented publicly, and he's not blaming anybody else and whatever, then, yeah, we can forgive that person. But when they try to cover it up and bribe people and they never prove their innocence, then there's something wrong. Because even the Bible says that Jesus is your attorney, and if you've done something, if you're being falsely accused, he will make sure that the truth comes out and those false accusations will not stand. We don't have to pay people off for their silence if we didn't do anything wrong. But that's what's going on today. And we see such a people are so nonchalant too about premarital sex, and I've even heard people say, and these are people, you know, Christians, that, well, I'm going to tell my child not to have sex before marriage, but I'm also going to teach them about condoms. So what kind of a message is that? When somebody's a teenager, they're not too smart. They don't really know that much yet about life. So who's going to guide them? That's the adult's job, is to guide them and to warn them. No, you don't tell them, don't have sex before marriage, but yet here, don't forget about your birth control. I mean, give me a break. You know, they can get a sexually transmitted disease. They're not ready for these kind of emotional relationships when they're teenagers. Nobody is. You're just not ready for it. It's hard enough when you get older and you get emotionally involved with someone. But yet to be physically involved with someone when you're a teenager, you're not ready for it. And as Christians, especially Christian parents, you're responsible for training that kid up in the way they should go. And don't give them mixed messages. That's not going to work. It doesn't work, because whatever you're going to compromise to gain, you will lose. You will lose it. And you can lose your children if you don't train them up in the way they should go. But whether it's old-fashioned or not, it's God's word. And I'm always reminded of that story. One of David's sons, I think it was Absalom, and he desired his sister. He wanted her, and then he raped her. And after he raped her, he hated her. And that's how things are in the world. These men, they want to have sexual relationships with women, with young girls. Then after they get what they want, they hate the person. They don't even want anything more to do with them. How many times has that happened? So the poor girl is left devastated and maybe pregnant and has a broken heart. God warned against it, And he warned against it for a reason. I'm going to take this call here. I see I have a call. Hi.
Yes, this is Jeff calling from Chelsea, Massachusetts. Here's my take on this. Preachers, now let's not include Catholic priests because Catholicism is not Christianity. It's just another religious
right.
system, so that gets cut out of the equation along with your mainline churches. But born-again churches, all this other stuff, you have to check and see if the past is really saved. And,
yes.
and because you have easy believism and everything, you have to check into that. And also, before you put somebody up in the pulpit, don't people fast and pray anymore? I mean, you know, this is just, this
oh no,
is
that's old fashioned.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm talking just simple horse sense kind of stuff, like doing an investigation on the pastor's background, like Massachusetts where I live at, it's a hardcore Catholic area where the people of Boston say don't shove this religion down my throat. So it's apples and oranges. Down south, I mean, you know, you have a lot of aberrations because there's more Christianity down south and the Midwest, and that's why I believe God is dealing with those areas because it says judgment begins in the house of God. I mean, the Northeast is doomed. So Boston's a home of homosexual marriage. So why do preachers do this? Check and see if they are saved. I mean, yes, adultery and fornication. That's you know, David did that. David's a believer, but if you're a believer, you're going to get chastised if you belong to God. If not, then you're not going to get chastised, and you're a tare. You know, it's just that simple. But I'll let you go. There's only 4 minutes left. God bless and have a good day.
Okay, thanks for calling. I appreciate your comments. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think there's so many people that call themselves pastors and ministers, and they aren't saved because I don't know. Of course, any of us are capable of doing anything. And the thing is, you want to see true repentance. You don't want to see somebody, you know, like this guy Marcus Lamb of Daystar. He's carrying on an affair for 7 years. So, like 7 years and there's no repentance. And then, of course, they started selling the gospel. And when they started selling the gospel, then you open yourself up to all these things. And you lose out with God. You lose out with your relationship with Jesus Christ, which is the most important thing that we have, is our relationship with God. What's more important than that? It's the most important thing we have. So I just, you know, in these last few minutes before we close here, I do want to encourage you today, anyone that's listening, and if you're in a church where you know there's blatant sin, the pastor is an adulterer or he's a homosexual or the pastor's wife is committing adultery, that you need to just leave that place. You need to leave it for the sake of your family and your children. You don't need to be there. You don't need to, you know, to be loyal and to stay there and love them. You need to run for your life because it is bad company. It's like the Bible says, bad company corrupts good morals. And it does. It really, really does. So we want to see God really cleaning up the church and the people, the believers out there, the people that really love God, that we take a stand for what's right and that we call sin, sin, and we don't try to hide from that. We try ourselves to live a good, righteous life, a pure and holy life. We should be an example to other people if we have a public ministry. And not to take that lightly, I don't. I try to live the best life that I can and to try to be a good example, especially to younger women. So I want to thank you all for tuning in today. And be with me next week. I have a great program with James Sundquist and Bear Franken. And we're going to talk about Rick Warren. And Bear Frankson, he was actually in a church that was teaching Rick Warren's teachings, and he objected to it. So they came one day when he was sitting in the church building with his wife, and they told him if he didn't leave, he was going to be arrested. Now imagine this happening in church. So tune in next week because you're going to hear a great testimony from James Sundquist and Bear Frankson. So also, if you don't know Jesus Christ today and you are not born again, give your life to Jesus. Repent of your sins. Ask him to forgive you and to come into your life and to be your Lord and your Savior. You must be born again. God said in his word in John 3, you're born of your mother once, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God, and you will become a new creature. Old things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new. And yes, that will happen. God will give you peace and joy, and you'll have a brand new life. It's the most wonderful thing that could happen to you is to meet Jesus Christ in a personal way, and he will become real to you. He is a God who loves you. Jesus Christ gave his life for you, and he wants to change your life today and give you a brand new life. So don't forget, please ask Jesus Christ to come in and to forgive you, and he will. No matter what your sin is, Jesus Christ can forgive you and give you a brand new beginning today. God bless you, and thank you for tuning in.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.